Hey, hey, oh, 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 oh. Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Life Unapologetic with Athena. I know it's been such a long time since you and I have been together, and I'm so glad that we have this opportunity to come back and to do what we do oh so well, which is just to share about God. Listen, I'm excited about what I'm working on currently, which is this three-part series that I've recorded kind of on my social media page in the Spiritual Growth Academy, and I wanted it to be a part of the podcast. It's kind of me coming back to the scene, and so I hope that you guys enjoy this. I know the recording quality isn't what I want it to be, only because it's, you know, recorded on a different platform, but nonetheless, I think the content is rich in giving us direction into our purpose and how do we get there. The practicality of it, I think, is rich so that we can begin to live in purpose, on purpose. And all of that is as a result of finding and identifying and reading the pages of our book of destiny that David talks about in Psalms 139, verse 16. I just want to take a quick moment before we jump into it to just thank all of my listeners who hold me down. I see that a lot of you are still listening, and I'm grateful that you're listening to little past episodes that I've done, and I pray that there's so many more to come. I just want to thank you all for just your continued support. Any new listeners, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast where we live unapologetically, unashamed, and just I pray that both my regular listeners and all my new listeners, I pray that you both enjoy and grow as a result of the content of this show. Yes, I will continue to say the Spiritual Growth Academy is yet to come. I will continue to say that I can't wait until it's what it is going to be. The prayer and the hope is that, as I've been focused on, is that we will launch it in August of 2021, if God should say the same. And just that it will be ready. I'm excited, y'all. So without further ado, I hope that you guys enjoy this series of the Book of Destiny and Purpose, Psalms 139, verse 16. There's three parts to this, and this is part one. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. Hey there. Hey there. Hey there. Listen, I want to say welcome to this live, this recording. It's kind of a special bonus recording out of the Spiritual Growth Academy. It's kind of something that I'm trying to be obedient to the Spirit of God in doing. I have been going through in this season of what I would like to call transition. And so as I've been transitioning in my life, you know, career, financially, purpose, destiny, all of these things have come full circle for me in the sense that I am determined to align everything that I am and every way that I operate in the natural with what God has for me, what his will is for me, what his purpose is for me. What does that look like? What if ministry, what is that? How do I earn and how do I provide for myself and my family in alignment with my purpose, in alignment with my destiny? And, you know, this has definitely been, I want to say for me, a very difficult journey. Within the last 3 years, I've struggled with this, as I've tried to build a career based on a passion that I felt I had, and more so a passion that I thought I had, and that I've realized is not really what I have made it to be. It was really a misconception of the direction that I felt I should have been going in. And so with that said, I've been going through this transition and it has been very difficult, to say the least, in the sense that I'm determined to not want to do this season over and over and over again. I don't want to go another year into this rat race. I don't want to go in another year where I revisit this space. And so God has really been talking to me about spiritual seasons, his seasons, Chronos and Kairos times, his divine timing. He's been, and this has been a few years, you guys, he's been dealing with me on purpose and destiny and what that looks like and how to access that practically. I believe that my talent, I believe that my skill is teaching. I believe that I can teach well. I am passionate about teaching, training, showing how to, creating structure, creating foundation. Those are things that I am good at, that I am passionate about, that I excel in the natural. And so if we look at the spiritual side of that, right, there's always whatever you have or do or see in the natural is a replica or a representation of something spiritual. I truly believe that. And so in the spirit, there are offices that we can hold based on the skill that we have in the natural. And I believe mine is the office of a teacher. I truly believe that. Now there's other offices, there's other spiritual operations that I'm sure I can tap into, or I may even be called out as. But one that stands out to me far more than any is teaching. And so this has been a very difficult struggle for me ever since I found out about the concept of our book of destiny or the concept of purpose. I feel like purpose is one of the biggest questions that eludes every human being on the earth. I believe that as children of God, as faith-filled believers in God, in our Savior Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, that the one thing that eludes most of us is purpose. Are we living in our purpose? Are we operating daily through our purpose? Is what we do aligned with our purpose? And I feel like that's the biggest question mark that eludes us more than anything. And so I believe that we find ourselves running after things in hopes that they are purpose-filled or align with purpose. I believe that from experience, we settle with just being a good person. We settle with just trying to do the right thing. We settle with just trying to have the right character. We settle with just trying to be a positive person, right? And that becomes good enough. Not aligning, but good enough. I believe that there is a synergy. There is a shift that happens when we walk in purpose that is gratifying, that is fulfilling, and that is effortless in our actions and interactions in this trajectory. And I believe that it is God's heart for his people to figure out how to align with their God-given predestined purpose. If you see at the bottom of the screen, the book of destiny and purpose, Psalms 139 and 16. Yesterday, I had a bad day. I had a bad day, y'all. I felt oppressed. You know, a lot of us say, I'm so depressed, right? I'm so depressed. And the day seems dark, right? We're gloomy, we're down, we're not positive. We're on a negative spectrum. So yesterday I was on a negative spectrum, and yesterday I wasn't down and out, but I was not myself. Quickly identified the spirit of oppression. This photo for the Spiritual Growth Academy, what I do is I create a lot of content. As some of you know, we're going to be opening up the Spiritual Growth Academy and to the public. And so there's a lot of content building that has to happen to make the platform something beneficial to the people of God that are going to fill this space in Jesus' name, and find the tools and the direction and the daily food that they need to grow in their walk with Christ. And so as I was looking for imagery for some of the content I was scheduling to be posted out, this photo came up. And so this photo blessed me. The colors prophetically spoke to me. The images prophetically spoke to me. Now, God had been dealing with me in Isaiah, some prophetic words in Isaiah about, behold, he's doing a new thing, and really asking, do you hear? And I still have not done with that. There's going to be some things I'm going to be working out of that in association with the Spiritual Growth Academy. But then this photo came out and really spoke to me in Ezekiel chapter 1. I think it's verse 1. I'm looking at my Bible, y'all. 1 through 20. And God was dealing with me on some things through that prophetic word in Ezekiel. One thing that I have learned about God in this season of transition and really, really trying to listen to the Spirit of God for concise, clear direction for myself. I am determined with tenacity to do what God has put me here to do. I don't know what that looks like. I don't want to work for anyone again because I need to earn. I don't want to go into a building because I need to earn. I want to be 100% within the will of God for my life and purpose. Now, I'm going to try to make these very short 30-minute snippets, y'all, so bear with me. But I really want to lay the foundation for what we're getting ready to go into. This is going to be a three-part series on purpose and destiny. And my prayer is that I begin to bring you along with what God has been doing for me as I've begun to seek out purpose, as I've begun to seek out my destiny or my book of destiny or my scroll. And I pray that this blesses someone in my sphere of influence that is where I am. I believe that we are called to people who are walking in the same walk of life with us, who are in the same path of life as we are, and that those of us who are maybe a bit more mature, those of us who can get the ear of God, those of us who can maybe hear a little bit clearer, are here to help others. I don't believe that I am meant to be in my prayer closet or my strategy room seeking God and getting what I feel is revelation and only holding that for myself. I don't believe that that's what God's heart is. And I'm going to blow this up and come out of the shot for a minute because I really want you to see and focus on this photo. So in Ezekiel chapter 1, the prophet had a vision. And in the vision, he saw four what looked like angels that had four different faces. They had feet straight as calves. Their wings were encrusted with eyes. He saw wheels within a wheel. And so many people know this passage of scripture because of the wheels within a wheel. And there's so many revelations or thoughts that people get. But this photo spoke to me in a point yesterday where I felt judged. And as I searched that thing out, Holy Spirit really began to show me that I was feeling condemnation, and I was feeling shame, and I was feeling oppression for some of the ways and some of the actions that I had done that were consequential to me in my walk, consequential for me in my life. And as I began to kind of sit in that, I began to read Ezekiel and studied this prophetic word, and I got so much insight. But what had happened was I began to feel judged. Part of this prophetic word can be looked at as a judgment on the children of Israel. This was at a time where Israel was against God. Israel was in bondage, but serving the gods of those that had enslaved them and not professing and worshiping God as they should. They were in profane worship. They were worshiping idols and other gods. And so God's glory and God's presence in this vision removed itself from the temple, from the people of God, which I believe was significant for being out of the will of God, right? And so anyone knows that the children of Israel were led by a pillar of fire, right? And then a cloud by day. And anytime that was gone, or anytime that was removed, the protection was removed from the people. And so I believe that God was dealing with me on some things, but the enemy was trying to manipulate and perverse what God was trying to give me. This is why it's important that we understand and know God for ourselves. This is why it's important that we have a relationship with God for ourselves. We cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated by the perverse thoughts of the enemy. Even in the context of the word of God, God gives vision, God gives insight, but God also gives revelation. And any revelation, God gives clarification. This is why when God gives us something, we can't necessarily just run with it before sitting with that thing and God, so that we can get the full understanding, the full download for what it is for us. And so I allowed myself to sit in that space, and I posted something on social media. It was imagery. I'm a very visual person, so I do a lot with imagery because it's how I communicate with God. It's how God communicates with me. And so I posted an image that really showed the struggle of what I was feeling yesterday. I believe that vulnerability and transparency is what's needed. I believe that us showing our vulnerability and showing our struggle when we have people that we influence is important, because social media, or what we want the world to see, or what we want people we know to see, is such a deception, right? We always want to post what seems to be the greatest, but no one sees what got us to the greatness, right? We always want to post this glory to glory shots that show us as prosperous and successful and happy and living in abundance, which by all means are where God would have us. But there's seasons and there's times, either in abundance or getting to abundance through the harvest, that aren't pleasant, that aren't comfortable, that we refuse to show because we want to put a perception of something more than what we are. And so I believe that God was really dealing with me and allowing me to filter through this process yesterday. I believe that as we go after the things of God, that the enemy will try to oppress us. As God begins to give us revelation and insight into our destiny and our purpose, the enemy will attack. He will attack. He will come after us. And so I wanted to share this three-part, I'm calling it a three-part series because I broke it down into three parts. It is something that I found and I pieced together, and I took all of these breadcrumbs, I believe that God has allowed me to get my hands on, and created this kind of this roadmap of our books of destiny and purpose. So for anyone who has followed the teachings of the courts of heaven, this is something that I feel that God has been dealing with me on is what they've called the courts of heaven, or the teachings and the trainings of the courts of heaven. God is showing me that while they give it all of these titles, and while it is very, very much aligned with a judicial system, that it is in its simplest form, strategy or spiritual technology in prayer and intercession, both for ourselves and for others and collectively. And so for those of us who are looking for a true change, true breakthrough, I believe that God allows us to get a little bit more of the deeper things of Him. And I believe for me, this has been this journey of the courts of heaven that has been attached to identifying purpose and attached to identifying my book of destiny. And so we recognize the importance of the books of destiny when it comes to operating from a place of the courts in heaven. Anytime I go into prayer, I always have the scripture of Psalms in my mind that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. A lot of times I used to think of that as like a court, like a garden, right? But now I enter into these courts or courtrooms of heaven because I'm going in to address issues, to address needs, needs from a manifestation of possible mistakes, from a manifestation of possible access that I've given the enemy, the accuser to. So I enter into his courts to address these things on behalf of myself and others. So there are actual books, as we're going to see through this teaching, that there are actual books or scrolls, as they were called, in heaven that declare our purpose for existence on earth. Now, if you look at the photo, which I love so much, it depicts a huge hand, which to me represented the hand of the Father. And in that hand, you can see a scroll that is kind of pivoting or floating within a bubble. And I believe that God was speaking to me through this photo in confirmation and clarity of my book or scroll of destiny. Psalms 139 and 16 reveals David's understanding of just this thing in this photo. My God, he said, "Your eye saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written." Your eyes, God, you saw all that I would be and all that I was, my substance being unformed, even before I became or manifested in the natural. My God. It goes on to say, "And in your book, they all of these things about me were written. The days fashioned for me, the days were already written out for me. What I'm to do and how I'm to do it, and with what I'm to do it with, and who I am to partner with, were all already written, already fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So prophetically, these things were already written out, spoken, even yet before there was anything. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that come through the spoken, the declaration, right? The alignment with what the promises of God say for us. So in this, we see David is declaring that there is a book in heaven that speaks not only of his, but also our natural makeup, not just his. I believe that God left even the the passages that David wrote so that we could insert ourselves. So as David began to write about and pray about and release the revelation that God, you wrote about me in a book. Everything that I ever was is in this book. And in this book was everything, even down to my natural makeup of who I am, all of me, all of the parts of me, my DNA are within this book of destiny and purpose. Now, this is interesting to me, you guys, and I find it a very interesting scripture because before a book existed, God saw our substance, my God. Before anything ever was created, before Adam and Eve, before the Garden of Eden, God saw who and what we were to be. Our books had their beginning through God seeing something before it existed that was yet unformed. Come on, walk with me. Our destiny and purpose began through the prophetic nature of God as a seer. I love this because God gives us access to so many gifts. And part of the gifts of the Spirit of God that we have access to is the prophetic. And it is through the access of the prophetic that we are able to see into the heart of God. We are also able to see into heaven prophetically on what God wants to do in the earth. And so we see God using the very skill set and gifts, spiritual gifts, that he gives us access to. We see him accessing and using those very gifts. It is just like any great leader, any great teacher, any great parent, any great father. They lead by example so we too can follow that example. My God. So we see God through David's testimony saying, Father, you prophetically through the gift of seeing, a seer, you saw my substance. You spoke that thing out into existence. And so God saw us functioning in the earth realm, right? Before it was naturally there, right? Adam and Eve had a purpose in the earth, in the Garden of Eden. Adam was given purpose before God had even placed him into the earth. There was already a purpose that was being manifested and created in the natural that God had spoken time before or predestined in the spirit. So he then wrote in the book two things connected to our function. So we're going to look at the breakdowns of these two things and I broke them into parts. So part one is what we're going to focus on in this video. And so he first wrote down our substance. David says, my substance, you saw my substance. I believe this has to do with our very own DNA. What makes us unique and who we are as individuals. We are all different. We are all special in our own right. It has to do with our desires and what we gravitate towards. See, purpose and destiny naturally align with what we desire wholly, righteously, purely desire. And what we gravitate for. Now the enemy, because of the fallen world we live in, he has created ways to perverse our desires and perverse the things that we gravitate for or gravitate to. But when we're clear in the Father, when we're fasting and we're praying and when we're seeking the Father, we begin to purify our desires and to purify the things that God would have us gravitate towards so that those godly desires and hungers become a reality. So our books of destiny and our substance that really breaks down who we are, it has to also do with our gifts and ability. It has to do with what we are good at and what we're not good at. And I love that our DNA is made up of our gifts and our abilities. And I don't want us to look at spiritual gifts when we're talking about the makeup of who we are, when we're talking about our destiny and our purpose. I want us to look at our skill sets. I want us to look at what
we are good at doing. I started this off by saying that I know that I can teach. I know that I am meant to educate. I am meant to train. I am meant to lead and to guide on a subject, on a thing, right? To bring structure, to lay foundation. I can bring the blueprints and walk them out. I know that's my skill set. That's my ability, right? Now, with that, I can tap into the Spirit of God, wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel, and might, fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. And then I can produce divine blueprints. My God, that's good. So when we think of abilities, I want us to think of, what are you good at? I want to make this practical, because as we're trying to seek out our destiny, as we're trying to seek out our purpose, I want to make it practical in the natural. I feel like sometimes in spiritual things, we make them so big, we make them so difficult, we make them so mysterious, but it boils down to, what are you good at? What do you do good? What does that look like? Because that is going to give you access and a shot of your purpose. We also see David looking at what he's good at and what he's not good at, because that's important. It's important for us to know our strengths and our weaknesses. See, so many of us don't want to focus on our weaknesses. We want to focus on our strengths. And I believe that the enemy perverts that way of thinking by comparison. We wanna be strong like everybody else. We wanna show up like everybody else, and as much as we can, not focus on our weaknesses. I'm learning in this season of transition, and even today in where I sit, that the weaknesses, the things that have made me make mistakes, the things that have cost me, embarrassment and shame, through pride and egotistical ways, are the very things I need to also balance out and give weight to, because they're leading me better, more so into my purpose, because I can learn from them. I can accept those weaknesses and I can work towards being better in those areas. I can accept my weaknesses as well as my strengths to know that that's not my lane, to know that that's not my area. And so that allows me to pivot my energy to what I'm better at doing, therefore not comparing myself to another. That's not my ministry. That's not my lane. So it's not that I can't be like that or I can't do that. It's that is not for me. I hope that blesses somebody, because that's blessing me. So all these things that are laid out, all of these things, our abilities, our strengths, our weaknesses, all these things coincide with destiny and purpose that we are made for. They all come together in destiny and in purpose, right? And so one of the best ways that you and I can discern what's in our book of destiny is to look at our desires. Now, like I said, remember, the enemy will perverse our desires. But if we can separate ourselves and make time for God to just pray and cry out to him, to repent for things, to ask for the process of dismantling things, we can really come to God. What do I truly desire? My God, I feel like so many of us, and I speak for myself, run after what it looks like to have a good life. We chase after provision, right? We chase after provision. And usually that is attached to money, which usually is attached to the spirit of mammon, because we don't want to be impoverished or we don't want to struggle. And so we get into this rat race of life, and it perverses our desires. But what would it look like if we could get to a space where we strip all of that off and say, God, what is my true desire? When aligned with you, when in touch and aware of who you are in my life, when aligned with you and in touch of what you desire for my life, what is that? What does that look like? Because in that, I know I will be successful. So good. So good. In Psalms 1, it said, by meditating day and night on the word of God, by being in relationship with God day and night. And when we read the word, getting direction and getting insight and getting correction, right? It will align with the desires and the will for God in our life. And it goes on to say that we will be planted because we have relationship, that it begins to give us root and it begins to give us stability because we begin to know which way to go and which way not to go. We know where we're strong and where we're weak. And so when we're weak and we identify and we're aware that we're going into a space of weakness, we know how to pivot and allow the roots to take place and allow the direction of God to guide us in those weak times. This is why God says, my grace and my mercy is sufficient for you, that his power is made strong in our weakness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to go with it. It goes on to say that in our seasons, everything we put our hands to do in our desires that are aligned with the will of God will prosper. That's the word. So as we also as we look at gifts and abilities we have, these abilities, and this is why I started off with mine, is these abilities give us clues to what we're made to do. They give us clues to what the Spirit of God may be inviting us to partner with him in the earth to do. I call it a vehicle. I remember trying to seek God when I started this journey in 2018 about purpose and destiny and knowing the Spirit of God and Holy Spirit and what am I here to do, and still learning that the Holy Spirit began to show me the vehicle that is the Spiritual Growth Academy. And so I began to understand that ministry wasn't about the four walls of a building that we call the church. Ministry wasn't about being on stage or the pulpit. Ministry wasn't about being in these different areas that are amazing to serve in our places of worship where we come together as a church. But ministry was more so about the vehicle that our abilities and our strengths allow us to create, to partner and carry out a work in the earth, in the natural, with the direction and the guidance and the enduing power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that makes sense. So these things are different for each individual. So God saw these gifts or these abilities and put them down in our book. So as he was creating us and he saw our substance, he wrote down our abilities in our book. And then he did something amazing. He predestined us. I love this. Some people get a little bit crazy when it comes to being predestined or predestination, right? But it simply means God has a thought out plan for you and I, for our lives, that we weren't just born just because, that our parents didn't just meet and accidents happen, but everybody who even thinks that they are in an accident, everybody who evaded abortion, that there was a thought out plan for your life. I speak from experience that even though I wasn't supposed to be, that God had a thought out plan for my life. I speak from experience today. So we do not have to agree with this plan. This is what I love about God, is that God gave us choice. That is what he gave to Satan, to Lucifer, and what caused Lucifer to fall was because he was one of God's creations that had choice. And so God then gave choice to man, Adam, and Adam fell. And then the cycle yet continued, right? Because we do not have to align with the plan of God for our lives. My God. It's all written out. It's all prepared. There are things attached to it. There are people attached to it. But we do not have to align. So good. So good. So yet we are the most satisfied. I've learned. And I pray that you will learn that as you begin to operate in purpose by what you're good at and what your strengths are, and combine those with what God is asking you to do, you will begin to see that you are most satisfied when our efforts line up with the plan that God has for us, when they line up with his will that he has for our life. And if you look at that photo, there's these circles that have eyes in them, and I'm gonna bring it up a little bit bigger. And they look like a ring within a ring or a wheel within a wheel. I believe God was saying that we have to align our will, our choices, our desires with his will. Now this prophetically has a lot of different meanings. And one of the meanings of the wheel within the wheel was that it carried the throne of God. One also meaning was that the wheel within a wheel allowed the Spirit of God to move about and to see all things in the earth. There was also prophetic word that the wheels within a wheel is how the enemy or the accuser in the courts gets access to still accuse the people of God. And so I believe that our will within the will of God is where we will align and we will be most satisfied with our day-to-day activities. We'd be most satisfied with what we do every day, day in and day out, that it would be a sense of effortlessness being in the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that there is an opposition. Like I said, the enemy tried to oppress me yesterday as I was getting this revelation. And so it doesn't mean that life is always easy or not challenging, but there still is such a satisfaction in the midst that knowing you are in the right place with God. Ephesians 1:11 tells us we have an inheritance connected to our predestined state. My God, the inheritance isn't because we are alive. The inheritance isn't because we have choice. The inheritance is connected to our predestined purpose, our planned out purpose, our thought out plan of God, our divine thought out plan that God has for our lives. It goes on to say that in him, Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. Because of Jesus, we now have an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. My God, the counsel of his will, the will within the will, that we are predestined, the inheritance, the blessings that are attached to the promises of God were spoken beforehand according to what he had already written in our books of destiny, giving us purpose according to his will. So this is good, y'all. So what is written in our books or in our scrolls is according to God's purpose. My God, this means that God cannot get his purpose done on earth without his people reaching their destinies. Now, this doesn't mean that God's will not be done. This means that he would, that we would be the conduit, the source by which he acts and operates through to get these things done in the earth. His heart is that we leave not this earth without accomplishing those things that would bring us most satisfaction while here in this earth. Even in a fallen world, God's heart is that we would produce a pleasurable life experience while fulfilling our destinies through him in the earth. This is the reason why the devil fights against us, so he might apprehend our destinies. Ah, this was so good yesterday, you guys, when I realized that I was oppressed, and I realized that it wasn't because I was condemning myself. It wasn't because of shame, but it was the enemy that didn't want me to persevere. He didn't want me to push forward, my God. And so I woke up this morning and I laid my hand on my head and I began to pray for myself. I began to pray on behalf of myself because I refused to go a second day into that oppression. We see in Ephesians 2:10 telling us about God's thought out plan. For we are his workmanship. Workmanship. He worked on us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're meant to do good. We're meant to produce good things, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The good works, the purposes, the businesses, the products, the promotions, all of those things were prepared by God beforehand that we would walk in them. My God, I pray you guys are getting this. Notice that there are things we are to walk in that are prepared beforehand. It's not that you need to figure it out. It's not that you need to come up with the next invention. It's not that you need to strategize on something that will be prosperous. They're already created beforehand for you to tap into. And God already has assigned that invention, that business, that product to you. My God, this is so good. So this refers to our book or our scroll of destiny in heaven. So when we are called by his workmanship or of his workmanship, this is the Greek term, and I messed these words up, so I wrote them down, y'all. Phemia, which means something that is made. It also can refer to a work of art. The Greek word itself is the word from which we get poem in our English language. God works in us to fashion our desires to reflect what is written in our books and our scrolls. My God, I pray you want to know what's in your book of destiny, because he has worked these things out for us to seek after and run after. You know, I've been learning that the more I study the word of God, that I try to get away from just all of the English words. I try to look up the Greek words. I try to get a broader understanding, because what I've noticed is, and this is me, y'all, I believe that the enemy has perversed the English language. I'm just going to say it. I believe that the enemy has perversed the English language. I believe that the enemy has stripped down the English language to the minute form. I call it the laziest form. And in that has taken away its substance. And so I pray that as we begin to seek our destiny, as we begin to seek our purpose, that we will search out. The word of God says that it is the responsibility of a king. We are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. It is a responsibility to search out the mysteries. We got to learn to search these things out, y'all. A poem has to be read in a rhythm to get the full effect. Now, if you don't like to read and you don't like to use your imagination, poems won't work for you. Because poems have a rhythm, and if they're out of rhythm or out of sync, they have no effect, and you're like, oh, that was horrible. But when a poem is aligned with the listener and the author is reading and releasing that poem, there's an effect that becomes nostalgic in your mind. You begin to go into a place as you listen. You begin to feel feelings from memories and life experiences that happen within the rhythm of the words that are being spoken. So when we step into our destiny, we will discover a rhythm of the spirit we sink into. My God, this is so good. The rhythm of God is so good. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 from the Message translation says, it gives some very significant statements when it comes to rhythm or discovering the rhythm of God. It says, are you tired? How many of you are tired of just the rat race? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? God says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. My God, discover the unforced rhythms of grace awakens us to being his workmanship. My God, when we begin to realize how we're made and what we're made for by getting access to our books of destiny and really identifying our purpose and the vehicle that we're going to partner with the Spirit of God to operate in on the earth, this sense of strife and frustration of life, it has to cease. Because we're no longer operating in our own strength. We're no longer operating in self. We're no longer operating in our self-will, but we're aligned with the rhythm of God's will for our life. We begin to get into what is the rhythm of destiny. My God. I remember several years ago, God led me to this prophetic word. And in its essence, it prophesied of God's desire to take me out or take us out of the grind, the stride, S-T-R-I-D-E of life. And this prophetic word was meant to put us into it takes us out of the grind or the strive, S-T-R-I-V-E of life and put us in the stride, the S-T-R-I-D-E stride or rhythm of grace. What I understood was that so many of us live in a striving posture. We're striving to be better. We're striving to make it. We're striving to be debt-free. We're striving to be the best parents. We're striving to be the best saint. We're striving to be the best Christian. We're striving to be the best wife or husband or mother or daughter or son. But what would it look like if we align with the will of God and begin to stride in grace? What would it look like for his mercy and his grace to be sufficient and his power to be strong in those areas where we're weak? Because see, where we're strong, we won't strive. Where we're strong, we strive because we're good there. Where we strive and where we toil and where we grind is where we're weak at. Because there's always something more we need to do. But as we begin to get into God's grace, his rhythm of grace, it becomes effortless. I'm going to close with this prophetic word that I want to read over all of those who are listening to this. And at some point in the Spiritual Growth Academy, you'll have access to read this. But this was the prophetic word that God gave me that as I began to read this piece that I've been going over with you, that the language was the same. And this was confirmation for me this morning as I fought off the accuser and broke some core issues. I went to the court trial and I dug a little deeper in my generational curses and I broke some stuff. It says, I am making you with my glory, magnificent splendor. I am changing you from the inside out. It's time to embark on a new season of chasing me. You will be more effective. You will be more efficient. You will do more with less. You cannot see it. It's hard for you to believe it, but I am the author of it. God says, take off the limits. Take the lids off. I'm opening new doors for you. It's not just about favor anymore for you. I'm shifting you from favor to open heavens, my God. Nearness of heaven to earth, Isaiah 64:1. You will not strive. You will not strive to make great effort to achieve or obtain something, but you will not lack either. I have gone before you to make a way for you. The divine godly connections are right around the corner. They are just ahead. You will see them and know them. I am indeed giving you double for your trouble. I have put in your hands as much as you can believe me for. How much can you believe me for? God says, dream, dream again, dream big dreams, dream wild dreams, dream with me and I will dream with you. Even as I write this, I can sense this longing for the Lord to bring us into a place that he saw before the earth was formed. So Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this teaching and this leading and this guiding into finding our book of destiny, into identifying strategy, Father, to get away from striding through life, just striving to be better, striving to find the right thing, striving to find the prosperous thing. Father, we thank you for a time such as this that you are showing us and giving us the breadcrumbs to lead us practically to our destiny, which manifests in our purpose and what we're meant to do in this natural form. God, we thank you for this time. We ask, Father, that as we go through this three-part series, that you would begin to show each individual that listens to this, that takes the time to watch, that you would begin to show them for themselves their destiny, that they would begin to read pages of prophetic words given to them that give insight, that they would begin to read the promises within your word that give insight, that they would begin to look at their abilities, Father, look at their unperverted desires and what they're good at, Father, and begin to see a pattern, begin to see an ability, begin to see a vehicle by which you are calling them to do something with you in the earth. Father, we believe that you are, that you were, and you yet are still to come. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for any sin, anything, any wrong heart posture, any way that we may have acted against ourselves, others, or even you, Father. That you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Father, that this would become our reality. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I pray that that blessed y'all as much as it has blessed me. I pray that as we go through this series, you guys would leave comments or you guys would reach out to walk through this journey with me. Listen, not all of this I will post on social media because I do have a Spiritual Growth Academy that you can get free access to right now before it goes live for membership. But I pray that this blesses somebody's appetite or hunger. This teaching is only for that person who is in my sphere of influence. This ain't for everybody, and I ain't for everybody because I'm not called to everybody. I'm called to a specific group of people, whether that be one, whether that be two, whether that be a million. I'm called to a specific group, and those are the ones that this is for. This is not too far-fetched for them. This is not outlandish for them. This is not religious to them. This is right on time for where they are and what they need. And so if that's you, I pray that you will continue this journey with me and that you would let me know what you've gotten from this, that would bless me to know that God is in this message, that God is in this teaching. This photo is everything for me, y'all. There is so much. I want to at some point do some teaching on Ezekiel chapter 1, because I believe that there is a lot to be said about that prophetic word as it stands today, as we fight condemnation and shame because of our idolatry and our profane worship and our poor decisions and our lack of, right? And how the devil uses that to hold us back, because as Ezekiel gave and released the prophetic word of destruction, he also released the promise of reconciliation and restoration. And so I pray that this has blessed y'all. I went far over my 30 minutes. I'm so sorry. I was hoping that it was, but you know, whatever God has is what God has. And that's what I'm going to go with. I pray that you all be blessed until the next one. I'll see you soon. Bye now.